Hi, I'm Jackie Roble with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Nutrition Action Health Letter is the flagship publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Published 10 times a year, Nutrition Action provides honest, unbiased, science-based advice on nutrition and health. It's the world's largest circulation nutrition newsletter, bringing the latest nutrition news and advice to more than 500,000 readers. Nutrition Action is totally free of advertising, so we're free to blow the whistle on products that aren't what they pretend to be and to applaud the good ones. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. The following articles are from the April edition of the Nutrition Action Health Letter. A grapefruit a day, when foods and meds interact, a bitter surprise. In the late 1980s, researchers wanted to test whether drinking alcohol interfered with a new blood pressure-lowering medicine called phenylephrine. To make this study more scientifically valid, we tried to find a beverage that would mask the taste of alcohol, says David Bailey, professor emeritus of clinical pharmacology at the Schulich School of Medicine at Western University and a scientist at the Lawson Health Research Institute in Ontario, Canada. One Saturday evening, my wife and I went through everything we could find in the refrigerator. The best masker? Grapefruit juice. But when the researchers checked the concentrations of the drug in the study, participants' blood, they were puzzled. It was as though everyone, those who drink alcohol plus grapefruit juice and those who drink just grapefruit juice, had gotten at least 3 times the dose of phenylephrine. This was a huge effect that no one had ever seen before with food, says Bailey. It took a while to convince people that it was real. Could grapefruit mess with other medications? Bailey and his colleagues went on to uncover the 2 ways it can. 1, increased absorption. Phenylephrine was the first example. Grapefruit inhibits cytochrome P40-3A4, or CYP3A4, a key enzyme that breaks down many drugs in the small intestine and the liver. With the enzyme hobbled, a higher dose of the drug ends up in your blood. Bailey says that upwards of 100 medications may be affected, though not all lead to serious side effects. Some of the best known are the cholesterol-lowering statins, atorvastatin, simvastatin, and lovastatin. Consuming even a normal amount of grapefruit juice or grapefruit increase the risks that these statins will cause muscle pain or damage that in rare instances can lead to kidney failure. It's safest to avoid grapefruit juice and eating grapefruit altogether if you're taking any of those statins, says Bailey. Grapefruit is unlikely to boost the effects of fluvastatin, pravastatin, pitavastatin, or rosuvastatin, which are not metabolized by CYP3A4. The culprit? Furanocoumarins, a group of naturally occurring chemicals in grapefruit that can also show up in pomelos and Seville, or bitter, oranges, which are used to make marmalade. Other sweet oranges are okay. The impact differs from person to person. Everybody has CYP3A4 in their gut, but the amount varies, explains Bailey. And unfortunately, the interaction is not readily predictable. It's not enough to drink only a small glass of juice or to drink it a few hours before or after your medication. Furanocoumarins are very potent, Bailey says. There is enough in 7 ounces of grapefruit juice to inactivate the enzyme. And the effect can last for days, until your body makes new enzyme. The second way? Decreased absorption. In a second group of medications, grapefruit and some other juices have the opposite effect. They make it harder for the drugs to be absorbed. That's why the label of the allergy drug fexofenadine, or Allegra, for example, says do not take with fruit juices. So far, only grapefruit, orange, and apple juices have been tested. Compounds in the juices interfere with some uptake transporters on our intestinal cells that absorb drugs. The worry here is that you're losing the benefit of the drug, explains Bailey. The good news? The effect is short-lived. You just need to take the drug about 4 hours before or after a glass of juice. Prostate Cancer, A New Era, by Bonnie Liebman. 10 years ago, everyone was getting radical treatment for prostate cancer, says Lawrence Klotz, chairman of the World Urological Oncology Federation. Everybody, even low-risk patients. Then the world changed. Now researchers know far more about who to treat and who to keep under active surveillance. And now urologists can use new techniques, from MRI scans to tests for genetic aberrations, to help men decide what to do. It's a new era, says Klotz. This whole area is changing rapidly. To screen or not to screen? I got diagnosed with prostate cancer Friday, June 13, 2014, wrote the actor Ben Stiller in 2016 on the website Medium. On September 17th of that year, I got a test back telling me I was cancer-free. The 3 months in between were a crazy roller coaster ride with which about 180,000 men a year in America can identify. That was 2016. By 2017, the number of men diagnosed with prostate cancer had dropped to an estimated 160,000. Is that good news? Normally, we would celebrate a decline in cancer incidence rates, wrote Meir Stamfer and others in a recent issue of JAMA Oncology. But prostate cancer is different. Many, perhaps most, prostate cancers never cause harm because they are indolent, says Stamfer, professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. In fact, autopsy studies find undiagnosed prostate cancer in more than a third of Caucasian and half of African American men aged 70 to 79. That tells you right off the bat that most prostate cancer is harmless, says Stamfer. But finding and treating those cancers does cause harm. For every 1,000 men aged 55 to 69 who are screened, 100 are diagnosed with prostate cancer. And treatment, surgery or radiation, saves only one or two lives. Meanwhile, 60 of the 100 experience impotence or urinary incontinence. And that doesn't include the anxiety or pain felt by the 120 who undergo a biopsy that finds no cancer. In 2012, that led the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, or USPSTF, to recommend against screening for high blood levels of PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, which had been the main screening tool since 1994. The main driver was the huge overtreatment of prostate cancer, says Stamfer. We had lots of men getting surgery and radiation for slow-growing tumors that most likely never would have caused any harm if they weren't diagnosed. But no screening also has a downside. There's clearly harm caused by overtreatment, but it doesn't make sense to stop PSA testing completely, because some tumors are aggressive, and we can do something about them, says Stamfer. Prostate cancer is still the third leading cause of cancer death in U.S. men. In April 2017, the USPSTF issued a new recommendation. Men aged 55 to 69 should talk to their doctor about a PSA test. Older men can still skip the test, said the USPSTF. New gene tests. We have no problem putting patients on surveillance in Canada, says Klotz. Men accept it and don't seem to have anxiety about it. But some men, he says, especially south of the border, that is in the United States, are anxious or get infected with anxiety by their physicians. For those men, an MRI and new genetic tests can help. What's more, they can help ensure that a biopsy didn't miss a Gleason 4. That is the Achilles heel of this field, says Klotz. It happens in 25 to 30% of patients with Gleason 3 plus 3. In contrast, he says, true progression from a Gleason 3 to a 4 or a 5 occurs only in 1 to 2% of cases per year. So far, three new tests, Decipher, Oncotype DX, and Prolaris, are being used to test prostate tissue genes for signs of that cancer is aggressive. The tests can predict patients who are more at risk for dying of prostate cancer based on the pattern of genetic expression, says Klotz. The tests are unnecessary for most low-risk patients. When you get a biopsy, a pathologist gives you prostate cells a Gleason grade, which ranges from 1, most normal, to 5, most abnormal. We mainly use the tests where you have a discrepancy, says Klotz. For example, you have a patient who has a little bit of Gleason pattern 4, but most of the disease is the more favorable Gleason 3. The MRI shows no cancer. The PSA is favorable. Does that patient really need surgery or radiation? The tests are quite useful in those kinds of borderline situations. Some genetic tests can also detect if men have genes like BRCA1 or BRCA2. These patients don't need repair mistakes in their DNA, so they accumulate a massive number of mutations rapidly, says Klotz. These men should not be on surveillance because they deteriorate rapidly. Men with BRCA1 or 2 make up about 3% of the population, but closer to 10 to 15% of men with prostate cancer, he adds. Most have a family history of breast or ovarian cancer. It's not a stretch to say that within a year or so, we're going to be screening every surveillance candidate for those mutations, adds Klotz. That's the future, he says. With genetic testing, we're going to move to an era where there's no gray zone about who to treat and who to follow. You'll be able to predict with significant accuracy what's going to happen. Lower your risk. Harvard's Mir Stamfer isn't looking for links to a higher risk of all prostate cancers. We're interested in what raises the risk of lethal prostate cancer, not indolent disease, he says. One of the risk factors that you can change, smoking within the previous 10 years, is one of the big ones, says Stamfer. The evidence on others is growing, but still limited. Exercise. We found about a 60% decreased risk of lethal prostate cancer in men with prostate cancer who were doing at least 3 hours of vigorous activity per week, says Stacy Kenfield, associate professor of urology at the University of California, San Francisco. Results were similar in healthy men over 65. And in another study of men with prostate cancer, even those who walked briskly for 3 hours a week had a lower risk of progression, for example, a rising PSA. Brisk walking could be vigorous activity for some older men, says Kenfield. If your heart rate is elevated, you're breathing rapidly, and you'd rate your exertion level as hard to very hard, you're doing vigorous exercise. Weight. Men who are obese having a higher risk of fatal prostate cancer. Higher levels of insulin like growth factor, insulin, and inflammation due to obesity may promote prostate tumors, says Kenfield. Cooked tomatoes. In a recent study, men who consumed tomato sauce at least twice a week had a 45% lower risk of prostate tumors with a common gene abnormality caused by poorly repaired DNA strand breaks. The lycopene in tomatoes may protect the prostate. I wouldn't say it's proven, but I recommend cooked tomatoes with some oil because lycopene is fat soluble, says Stamfer. Raw tomato won't raise your blood levels of lycopene much. Fish. In a study of roughly 2,100 men with prostate cancer, those who ate fish at least 5 times a week more were half as likely to die of prostate cancer than those who ate fish less than once a week. Fatty fish is an excellent source of omega-3 acids, says Kenfield. Those fats may slow the growth of cancer cells. Dairy. In a study of 1,334 men with prostate cancer, we found that those who drank more than 4 servings of whole milk a week had a 73% increased risk of prostate cancer recurrence than men who had no more than 3 servings a month, says Kenfield. Low-fat milk and other dairy foods were not associated with recurrence. Men who consumed more saturated fat after diagnosis also had a higher risk of dying of prostate cancer. Calcium and phosphorus. Men who get more than 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day from food plus supplements have a higher risk of lethal prostate cancer. But the link may be due to phosphorus, which is found along with calcium in dairy foods, as well as in thousands of foods with phosphate-containing additives. Stay tuned. Selenium and vitamin E. The SELECT trial gave 35,000 men selenium, 200 micrograms a day, or vitamin E, 400 IU a day, both or a placebo for 5 years. It didn't turn out as researchers as hoped. Among men who entered the trial with high levels of selenium, those who took selenium had a higher risk of high-grade prostate cancer. And among men who started with low selenium levels, those who took vitamin E had a higher risk of high-grade prostate cancer. Results like those make Kenfield wary of any supplements for the prostate. If your vitamin D level is low, it's completely appropriate to take a supplement, she says. But if you're not deficient, there's no good evidence supporting any single supplement after diagnosis. On the other hand, 2 drugs hold promise. There's a lot of data that statins slow the progression of prostate cancer, says Klotz, and men taking metformin for diabetes have a lower rate of prostate cancer mortality. But we don't yet have rock-solid evidence from trials pitting each drug against a placebo, he notes. A trial on metformin is underway. Other studies are also in the works. By my count, there are about 15 trials looking at various lifestyle interventions in men on surveillance, says Klotz. We'll have data from them probably in 4 or 5 years. Until then, all the epidemiologic data says that if a diet is good for your heart, it's good for your prostate, says Klotz. That means not too much animal fat, not too much red meat, lots of fruits and vegetables, and avoid obesity. Quick studies. a snapshot of the latest research on diet and exercise. How to trim bad belly fat. Can the right diet or exercise help you lose the worst types of body fat? Israeli researchers randomly assigned 278 sedentary adults, mostly men, with oversized waists or high triglycerides and low HDL, or good, cholesterol, to one of two diets with equal calories, low-fat or Mediterranean low-carb, for 1.5 years. For the last year, half were also assigned to an exercise program, 45 minutes of aerobic plus 15 minutes of strength training, 3 days a week. The Mediterranean low-carb group was told to eat more vegetables, beans, poultry, and fish instead of beef and lamb. And they were given an ounce of walnuts to eat each day. Their carb limit was 40 grams a day for 2 months and up to 70 grams a day thereafter. The low-fat group was told to eat whole grains, vegetables, fruits, and beans, and to cut back on sweets and high-fat snacks. Each group was served either a low-fat or a Mediterranean low-carb lunch, but the main meal in the day in Israel, at work. After 1.5 years, both groups had lost about 6 pounds, but the exercisers lost more deep belly or visceral fat, the worst kind, no matter which diet they ate. And waist size, triglycerides, and liver fat fell more in the Mediterranean low-carb group, whether they exercised or not. What to do? To shrink belly fat, get off the couch. To lower triglycerides and liver fat, replace some carbs with nuts, fish, and other unsaturated fats. Risky alternatives. What happens to cancer patients who choose alternative treatments? Researchers identified roughly 280 people who chose alternative, that is, unproven treatments, for several non-metastatic cancers. Over 5 years, patients who chose alternative treatments were 6 times more likely to die of breast cancer, 5 times more likely to die of colorectal cancer, 2 times more likely to die of lung cancer, and no more likely to die of prostate cancer, which progresses slowly, than similar patients who chose conventional treatment. Those who chose alternative treatments had higher socioeconomic status and education, were more likely to live in the Western United States, and had fewer other illnesses than other patients. What to do? Don't bet your life on unproven cancer remedies. This study didn't look at people who use complementary and integrative medicine in addition to conventional treatment. Did somebody say dessert? As if we needed more evidence that dessert can be irresistible. Researchers had 29 young adults press a key each time they saw a target, an image rotated on its side, in a rapid stream of images on a computer. The question? Would they do worse on the test if distractor images of a sandwich or dessert preceded the target? The results? Before lunch, distractors showing either food led to poorer performance. But after a lunch of unlimited sandwiches, the sandwich images had less impact on performance. The dessert images? Still a distraction. What to do? Don't assume that you'll pass up dessert. April Fools. Surprise! Every day is April 1st in the supermarket. By Lindsay Moyer and Bonnie Liebman. Yes, there's some avocado in Hidden Valley avocado ranch dressing, but the bottle basically contains a mix of water and oil. Less than 2% is dried avocado. What explains the avocado green tint? A mix of blue 1, yellow 6, and yellow 5 food dyes, of course. What else are they hiding in that valley? Love your juice, love your life, says Welch's Superberry Juice with antioxidant vitamin C, 150% daily value. Wow, those superberries must have supplied loads of vitamin C. No, silly, read the fine print. Flavored blend of Concord and other grape, aronia, and mangosteen juices from concentrate with other natural flavors and added ingredients. We're talking mostly grape juice plus who knows how little aronia and mangosteen and some added vitamin C. Gotta love Welch's marketing department. New with probiotics boasts Kellogg's Special K Nourish Berries of peaches, real fruit, and yogurty pieces cereal. Who can't resist pieces of hydrogenated palm kernel oil, sugar, and yogurt powder that's been heat treated, which kills the yogurt's live cultures? And what is Nourish's added probiotic? Good for, anyway. Not much. Lucky for Kellogg that probiotics sounds like the answer to whatever GI problem ails you. How special. Going Bowling. Frozen Meals Get a Makeover. By Lindsay Moyer and Bonnie Liebman. Bowls are in. Panera, Chipotle, Sweetgreen, and countless other eateries have jumped on the meal in a bowl wagon. So why not the freezer case? The good news, a typical bowl is mostly plants. Many offer whole grains, veggies, beans, or another protein, sauce, and maybe nuts or seeds. That often means more fiber, potassium, and unsaturated fat, and less refined grain, salt, and cheese than typical frozen entrees. Here's a guide to the best. The best bowls. Bowls can be packed with lentils, greens, and other healthy ingredients, but watch out. Some offer the same old greasy, salty, white flour mac and cheese, baked ziti, or pad thai. Here's how we picked our best bites and honorable mentions. Whole grains. We require grains to be at least mostly whole. 100% whole grain pasta is rare in the freezer case. And we allowed no white potatoes. Nutrient-rich sweet potatoes? You bet. Sodium. We capped best bites at 450 milligrams, but few brands get that low, so honorable mentions can have up to 600 grams, milligrams. That's generous for a typical 300-calorie bowl. Saturated fat. Our limit, 3 grams, cut most cheese, fatty, red meats, and coconut curries. We allowed a few grams more if the fat came from nuts, seeds, or healthy oils. Made smarter. Smart ingredient swaps that do not compromise taste, says Smart Made Bowls. Got that right. The Thai-style chicken and vegetable swaps yogurt for some cream. The roasted turkey and vegetables comes with roasted sweet potatoes, not white. And the roasted vegetables with angel hair delivers 100% whole wheat pasta. Smart Meg snacked 6 honorable mentions and 6 more varieties just missed on sodium. They put the original smart ones like line, think pizza, mini cheeseburgers, and mac and cheese to shame. Loving that Luvo. When was the last time you picked up a frozen entree full of spiced chickpeas and black lentils, or green garbanzos, cabbage, and kale, or black rice, pineapple, mango, and cashews? Luvo sets the bar high for nutritious and tasty bowls. Sky high. With 7 best bites, Luvo leads the pack. Nearly all of the company's bowls and vegan planted power bowls earn best bites or just miss, and every Luvo bowl stays under 400 milligrams of sodium. That alone deserves a medal. It's not just that many Luvos use potassium chloride, a salt substitute that helps cut sodium and boost potassium. It's also Luvo's flavorful herbs, spices, and more. We're talking cilantro, ginger, and mango powder in the chana masala, pineapple mango, and tamari in the Hawaiian unfried rice, tomatillos, poblanos, and jalapenos in the quinoa and veggie enchilada verde, and shiitakes, raisins, and sumac in the SoCal kale and bean. Yum. Another plus? Luvo tallies the fruits and veggies on the front of each box, typically half cup in the regular bowls and 1 cup in the planted power bowls. Amy's Best. Many Amy's bowls have too much salt or refined grains. And the 3 cheese and kale bake and broccoli and cheddar bake each packs more than a half a day's saturated fat. But don't give up. Try the brown rice and vegetables with tofu, which also comes light in sodium, the light and lean quinoa and black beans with butternut squash and chard, or our taster's pick, the black-eyed peas and veggies, with brown rice in a zippy ginger tamari sauce. The harvest casserole piles on sweet potatoes, tofu, red beans, kale, chard, quinoa, and pumpkin seeds, but has a bit too much sodium, 640 milligrams. Want to make your own bowl? Try the Healthy Cook Kate Sherwood's Anatomy of the Perfect Bowl. The basic formula, 1 to 2 cups raw and or cooked veggies, half cup chicken, fish, tofu, or beans, 2 to 3 cups salad greens, 2 to 3 tablespoons dressing. In this bowl, there are half cup chopped roasted peppers, 1 cup shredded carrot and cabbage, 1/4 cup pickled red onion, 3 cups salad greens, 1/4 cup mint and cilantro leaves, 1/2 cup cooked lentils, and 2 tablespoons roasted pumpkin seed. Try pairing it with smoked paprika dressing, 1/2 teaspoon smoked paprika, 1/2 teaspoon brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 2 teaspoons tomato paste, 1 tablespoon mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons red wine vinegar, and 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. In a large bowl, whisk together all the ingredients. Mix 6 tablespoons. Right stuff. Can't beat 'em. We're defying all previous notions of beets, promises Love Beets website. Praise be. If you're a beet fan, you know their downside. Washing, cooking, peeling, and prepping fresh beets is a messy labor of love. Love Beets does all that for you. Its refrigerated beets are harvested young for a sweeter taste and then cooked until tender in our specially curated marinades. Start with the mild vinegar, ingredients, beets and vinegar. One 30-calorie serving, half the container or two-third cup, is enough to perk up any salad or to snack on straight from the package. Or try the Zippy Honey Plus Ginger, 45 calories and about 2 teaspoons of added sugar. Let's be honest, beets don't have the superfood status of, say, spinach or kale, but they're no slouch in the nutrient department. Each serving delivers about 2 grams of fiber, 20% of a day's folate, and a decent dose of potassium and magnesium, 5% a day's worth for each. Feeling more ambitious? Try Love Beets Unseasoned Cooked Beets or Trader Joe's Baby Beets. Just chop or slice and toss with mixed greens, shredded or grated carrot, and a mustard vinaigrette, or sprinkle with fresh herbs like chives, parsley, and dill. Stay true to your roots, the package implores. With these beets, that's easy. Food porn? Ooh, no thanks. It all began when Ike Sewell imagined a pizza unlike any other, says Uno Pizzeria and Grill's menu. Fresh dough with a tall edge topped with homemade sauce and more cheese than you could believe. While you'll be happy to hear that Uno hasn't lost its more-than-you-could-believe touch, take the chain's new Chicago Meat Market Deep Dish Pizza. Individual size? That means it serves one. Layers of garlic sausage, Chicago Italian beef, meatballs, pepperoni, hand-shredded mozzarella, and vine-ripened tomato sauce, says the menu. That's 4 layers of meat, in case you lost count. It's not easy to squeeze 2,000 calories, mostly from meat, cheese, and white flour, onto one 7-inch crust. That's a full day's calories and nearly 2 days' worth of saturated fat, 35 grams, and sodium, 4,240 milligrams. It's worse than eating a California Pizza Kitchen pepperoni topped with 3 McDonald's hamburgers. And when you get tired of the meat market, you can try Uno's new River North sausage or the original cheese and tomato. Each also squeezes a day's worth of food into a single-serve 7-inch pizza. Good thing most Americans aren't overweight or anything. Invented in 1943 by us, you're welcome, says the deep dish section of Uno's menu. Gee, thanks. Dish of the month. Creamy sesame dressing. Whisk together a 1/4 cup plain Greek yogurt, 2 tablespoons tahini, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 2 tablespoons reduced sodium soy sauce, 2 teaspoons toasted sesame oil, 2 teaspoons honey, 1 clove minced garlic, and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Makes about 12 tablespoons. Don't want your hands to smell like garlic or onion after you're done shopping? Rub them on a stainless steel soap bar or faucet before you wash them. That's all the time we have for nutrition news. Until next time, I'm Jackie Roble for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast on our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening.